Take your Bibles and turn with me tonight, please, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 26. And I want to talk a little bit about the garden tonight. And Brother Chad was talking about sanctification. And sanctification is a process. Salvation happens the moment we put our faith, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But sanctification is a process. I'm well aware that some people think that sanctification is it can be done and over with. And I personally don't believe that. If a man says he's without sin, he's not telling the truth. Amen. He's lying. And one preacher said the only way I figured out to live above sin would be to move in over a bar. Amen. And anyway, we're still weak. We're still frail. We're going to see that in the scripture tonight. But God knows we can live in victory. Amen.
Amen.
I like what one preacher said. We're not sinless. But if you've ever been saved, you do sin less. Say amen right there. If there's never been a change, then there's never been Christ, because Christ will change your life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Stand with me tonight for the reading of the Word of God, if you're able. I'm going to read in verse 31, starting in verse number 31. The Bible said, "Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye," this is Matthew 26 and verse 31, "Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will," "go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and he saith unto his disciples, "Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that would have been James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me." And he went a little farther, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto his disciples, and he findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, "What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, and let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." If correctly read, that's verse 31 through 46. You can be seated. Please pray with us. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege to stand here in this precious place with these precious people. Lord, I'm glad that this is our Father's house. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would forever be welcome in this house. And God, we pray and invite you to do a work in our hearts tonight. Lord, we know tonight that you want to help us, and I pray, God, that you will. Help this pastor, our Father, and help his precious people. God, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I want to look tonight at the garden and just give you a few things here tonight that's on my heart. And I want you to understand the significance and the importance of the garden tonight. Let me mention some things tonight. If you turn over to John chapter 18 for just a moment, I want you to see this in the life of Jesus. The Word of God said when Jesus, in verse 1 of chapter 18, had spoken these words, and those words were the prayer that was recorded in John chapter 17. If you want to hear the Lord's prayer, the model prayer is Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But the Lord's prayer is in John chapter number 17. Here Jesus is approaching his Father. If we want to learn something about prayer, then John chapter 17 is certainly a good place to learn it. I'll remind you tonight that there are two things that the disciples, that they ran with Jesus for 3.5 years. They walked with him. They saw what he did. They listened to what he said. Two things they asked for. One of them was, teach us to pray. And the other one was, increase our faith. I don't believe there's a one of us here tonight that couldn't stand an increase in our faith, that couldn't be a little closer in our prayer life, that couldn't have a little more of the garden in our life as a Christian, that garden experience with the Lord. Jesus spoke in these words. He went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron. And where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples? The first thing I want you to see is in verse number 2. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciple. I want you to see, beloved, the frequency of the garden. This was not something that just Jesus could just take it or leave it. But it was a place where oft times he went to meet with his Father. And you know, I believe it was only, I use the word natural. I know it's supernatural, but it was only natural when Jesus come to this hour, when Jesus is now looking square at the cross and understanding that he's going to lose his life. The Bible talks about the disciples, they were sorrowing, and they slept in one place. It doesn't tell us in every account, but in one account it said they were sleeping for sorrow. Jesus had told them, I'm going away. And it broke their heart because they were no longer going to get to walk with him. They were no longer going to get to talk with him. And they didn't really understand what was going on. But Jesus was going away. I see the frequency. And I believe it's important, beloved, listen, that you and I have a garden in our life. And then when the trials do come, and when the valleys do come, and they will, beloved, it'll just be a second nature to go to that place where we've met with the Father before. Amen. And then I want you to notice this. In verse number 3 of that chapter 18 in John, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with the lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, he went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. I spoke with a man not too long ago, and he told me, he said, Preacher, I've watched the movie about Jesus being crucified. And he said, I don't understand why he didn't just wipe them out. That's what he told me. And I told this man, I said, Brother, the only hope that you and I had of being forgiven is that he went all the way to the cross. Now, I believe, beloved, that the devil tried to kill him in the garden. The Bible said he was sorrowful even unto death. I don't believe the devil wanted him to make it to Calvary, beloved. He didn't want him to be pierced the way the Bible said that he was going to be pierced. And yet Jesus in the garden, beloved, submits himself to the Father. You say, Pastor, you see the frequency in the garden? Yes, I do. But I see the foe in the garden. I see the enemy. Can I tell you this about the enemy? He'll do anything he can to come between you and the God of heaven in the garden. He doesn't want you to have that time in the garden alone. The way the songwriter wrote it, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. He doesn't want us, beloved, to have that special fellowship. Beloved, let me say this. The better our fellowship is that away, the better our fellowship will be this away. You'll get a group of people just the size that's in this church tonight that's fellowshipping that away. I tell you, it'll make it a whole lot sweeter this away. Somebody say amen. I tell you, we'll long for the house of God and long for the things of God. Long to see people saved and long, beloved, to see God work in our lives. I see the frequency. I see the foe. And then I'm kind of giving them, go back to Matthew with me now. I see the failure. You see, I believe, listen to me. When you and I, like Peter did, Peter just had a way about him, didn't he, of opening his mouth. I don't know what size foot Peter was, but he had a way of sticking that foot, all of it, right in his mouth. Amen. And by the way, Peter wasn't alone. Would somebody say amen? Have you ever stuck your foot in your mouth? Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, watch what the Bible said here. He said, all shall be offended because of me this night. Peter said, though all men should be offended, I'm different. You know what he was? He was overconfident. I'm going to tell you something tonight. That's a dangerous place to be in. To be overconfident. The Bible said, cursed is the man that puts his confidence in man. Beloved, listen, that man might be the one in the mirror, but we can't afford. Listen, Paul said it like this, we have no confidence in the flesh. When we get that confidence in the flesh, we're headed for trouble. The Bible said, let every man that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. About the time we think we're the tallest, we might be fixing to be the shortest. God might be fixing to cut the legs out from under us. And Peter, I believe, learned that the hard way. Though all men, the Word of God said right here, be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. And what happened? Y'all know what happened, don't you? Those little maidens come along and said, you're one of them. Oh, no, not me. And I'll tell you about the third time, beloved, he did that. He heard that cock crow. And you know what he realized? Something you and I always need to know. Jesus was right. He always gets it right. Amen. And so we see the failure. I believe with all of my heart. One preacher said this, and I've never thought a lot about it, but it came back to my mind as I looked at the Word of God today. He said, every failure is a prayer failure. Think about that. I don't know where he got that in his heart, but I believe he's probably right. Beloved, listen, we need to know that the God of heaven hears and answers prayer. Brother Fred, one of his favorite songs, if not his favorite song in the choir, he answers my prayer. Amen. Brother Fred loved to sing that song. You know what I believe? Brother Fred loved to pray. Amen. I believe Brother Fred would be tickled to death with what's going on in his family right now, how God's working in his children and grandchildren's lives. Amen. For the glory of God Almighty. Sometimes we know God answers our prayer while we're still down here. Sometimes we may be on the other side when God's answering some of those prayers that we've prayed. So I see that failure. Now I want you to see this, and don't miss this. I want you to see the fervency in the garden. Beloved, listen, if we'd be honest tonight, listen to me carefully. Has there ever been a time in your life when you were more fervent in prayer? Help me tonight. Nod your head one way or the other. Ever been a time, beloved, listen, when it was easy for God to squeeze your heart and it run at your eyeballs? When you prayed for somebody that was lost and you could see them while you were praying, falling off into the region of the damned and begging God to save them, begging God to work in their heart and in their life. It's no wonder, beloved, that the enemy wants to drive a wedge between us and the Father, wants to drive a wedge between us and that garden, us and that time alone with Him. I want you to think about this tonight. The Word of God, look at the fervency. In verse number 38, the Bible said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22 tonight. Let me show you a verse of scripture here the Lord put on my heart. Luke chapter 22 tonight and verse number 44. Think about the fervency tonight that we see in the life of our Lord Jesus as he prayed in the garden. The Word of God said in the Bible said in verse 42 of Luke 22, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Let me say this tonight. Brother Chad testified about sanctification. Let me say this. I mean this. We'll never learn the nevertheless word apart from the garden. A lot of people in the religious realm today, they act like you can march into the throne room of God and tell God to do this and tell God to do that. Honey, you're not God. He is. And prayer is not to, beloved, listen, get my will done in heaven. Prayer is to get God's will done on the earth. Jesus came to that nevertheless. I've told people before, as they're seeking God's will, you can find God's will when you find neutral. Beloved, you cannot go to God's word and go to God in prayer with your mind already made up and find God's will. You've got to say, God, I want to know your will. Lord, if it's this way, fine. If it's that way, fine. But I want to know your will. I want to do your will. Watch this now. I'm talking about the fervency of prayer. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And the word of God said, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Honey, this is God incarnate. Somebody said one time, said, why? If Jesus was God, said that them nails really didn't even hurt. You don't understand. Jesus was God, but Jesus was man all at the same time. If we don't understand the deity of Christ and accept that, beloved, you cannot make heads or tails out of the scripture. God's not weary, but Jesus was weary on his journey. Say amen. Jesus, the God is not tempted, but Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. You have to understand, he is God, but he is man at the same time. Beloved, here an angel appeared unto him, strengthening him. And the Bible said, in being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I read this years ago. It was a physician's account that, beloved, you can be in such agony of soul and agony of spirit that the pores of your skin will open and allow blood to come through. I do know this. The older I get, I've got scars on my hand right now. If I just bump my hand, the skin is just getting thinner and thinner and thinner, it seems like. Amen. And but this is not what was going on. Jesus is 33 years old in the flesh. Jesus is in agony of spirit. And the Word of God said here, and he rose up from prayer and he was come to his disciples. He found them sleeping for sorrow. I wanted you to see, beloved, the fervency in prayer. I wonder, Brother John, what it would have been like to walk up on Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, to get within earshot of him. And it could be, beloved, you'd have had to got awful close to heard what he was saying. There may not have been a lot of strength in his voice. It seems like he just went a little further from the disciples. Evidently, they didn't hear what he was saying because they was able to sleep while he was saying it. Amen. But I'll tell you this tonight. I believe if we could have heard him, we would have said he's broken. He's fixing to face something he's never faced before in his life. He's going to be separated from his Father. I want you to think about this tonight. He was going to be separated from his Father for time, so that I would never have to be separated from my Father for eternity. What a blessing that is tonight, amen, to know that he loved us that much. I believe with all of my heart we see the fervency. We see the flesh in the garden. Look, at, I talked a while ago about the failure and about the foe. But look in verse 40 of Matthew chapter number 26 here. Verse 40. And he cometh unto his disciples, and he findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Maybe that's, Brother Ralph, where the song Sweet Hour of Prayer come from. I don't know. I don't know where that amount of time came from in that song. But it just dawned on me that right there it is in the Scripture. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And the Word of God said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing. How many can agree with that next statement? This flesh is rotten. And this flesh is weak. Mark her down. The Bible said over there in the book of Psalms, he knows how frail that we are. And that we're flesh. We're but flesh. Beloved, listen. We don't need to make excuses. But we do need to understand that the foe and the flesh don't like the garden. Say amen. There's a new man inside of every child of God that loves the garden, but the old man don't want no part of it. Amen. The old man would rather stay away from the garden. It's in the garden we cry, not my will, but thy will be done. Notice this tonight, and I'm finished. Verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. I want to ask you something tonight. How many believes he's coming again? How many would rather not him find you asleep? The Bible said, awake to righteousness, and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. The Word of God is wanting us to wake up and realize, beloved, even in the mess we're in as a country, even in the mess that we're in with the physical aspect of what's going on right now, people are still lost. I wonder, how many is it now? Somebody give me the figure. A couple days ago I heard it. How many people is it now that, is it close to 800,000 people that's died with COVID? Is that close? Is that pretty close, Brother Jim? Anyway, let me just say this. By the way, isn't it amazing that you can have one president and you can't turn a TV on anywhere without those numbers being shown? Then you can have another president and you never hear nothing about it. Ain't that amazing? That's free. It didn't cost you nothing. Amen. Absolutely amazing. But let me say this tonight. The reason I brought that number up, Brother Wayne, how many of them knew Jesus? No, you're probably right, brother. The Word of God said, broad is the way. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. Think about that tonight. Beloved, it's not just leaving the world, but it's leaving the world unprepared. The Word of God said here, he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. He left them and he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and he saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. The last word that I have in the garden is the word forgiveness. If Jesus doesn't go, he goes to the garden, and that's what we've been talking about tonight. He prays in the garden. That's what we've been talking about tonight. But the garden wasn't going to be his resting place. He was going through the garden to the cross. Do you realize tonight that these people that came and arrested him, the Bible said, Brother Gary, when he spoke to them, they fell backwards. Just the power in his voice. Just the power in his life. I can't imagine the power that was so evident in Jesus' life that he had just met with the Father in the garden. Do you realize that it's not unlikely, but very likely, that if not all, that some of these same people were standing there that day, Brother Wayne, when Jesus from the cross said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." You think about that tonight. You say, "Pastor, what's at stake in the garden?" The forgiveness of our sin. That's why it was important that Jesus not die in the garden, but die just like it had been prophesied. They'll look on him whom they have pierced. Beloved, he was going to Calvary so that you and I could go to heaven. He took our place, amen. I don't know about you tonight, but it's easy for me to love a man that would be willing to do that for me, that would take my place on that cruel cross. How many's glad you come this way tonight? How many understands that the enemy in the flesh is trying to keep us from the garden? Am I right or am I wrong? May God help us tonight to get back to the garden. Amen. I looked up there the other day, and my wife and I, we planted a garden last year. The tomato cages are still up. I've been getting them down for months, but they're still up. I believe they'll come down when we're getting ready to plant maters. You say, "Pastor, why did you even mention a garden like that?" Because we planted it, we prepared the ground. It was new ground. We ripped it up, we tilled it, we planted it, we prayed over it, and God blessed it. It was so fruitful, Brother Wayne. I don't know how long we were getting okra way up, I guess till it frosted, and just getting okra. And it was the last thing to show any promise. We thought that okra ain't going to do nothing. God said, "Just wait, I'm a-coming," amen. I believe if we'll get in that garden, we'll be more fruitful for the glory of God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Thank you for being here.